This is Danny, Dave, and Moore.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Now, the opening drive.
It is Danny, Dave, and Moore. Your Mariners have a chance to cut the deficit to two games behind the Houston Astros. They fall today to the Oakland A's 6-4. And look, we had this debate kind of at the beginning. Were you rooting for the A's? Were you rooting for the Astros? I was firmly on, I want the A's to win because I think it's more likely that the Mariners could catch the Astros than be caught from behind by the A's. Well, be careful what you ask for, because the A's won 3 of 4 in that series, and the Mariners could pick up another game today if they're able to beat the Angels in their finale, and they got James Paxton on the mound tonight.
I was trying to remember, Jim, where were you on that? Because I was one that thought, I don't want the A's to win. You know that probably Houston's going to win the division, and I don't want the pesky A's around.
I was leaving today, and the game was on at home. The boys were watching the game, and so I say, hey, Mikey, you know, who are we rooting for here? And he was like, well, we're rooting for Houston, duh. And I think his thinking was like, well, make sure you get the wild card. You want to, at the very least, get the wild card. And I think the thinking, too, with a lot of people, Mikey included, is that the Astros have a better team than the Mariners.
Well, and I tell you what, I was thinking, like, I don't want the pesky A's around. I don't want them to win. I want Houston to win. But yesterday on the pregame show, I think Rick Riz changed my mind.
Here is Rick Riz yesterday talking about that A's-Astros series.
I'm rooting for the A's, definitely the A's, because you put on that uniform, you want to win the division. When you want to win this division, you don't want to fly to New York. You don't want to fly to Boston to face Severino or Sale. Can you beat them? Yes, you can beat them. James Paxton, you can beat them. But you want to be at home against the Cleveland Indians to start off the division series. You're 4 games out behind this ball club. They're catchable. Repeating in baseball or any sport is the most difficult thing to do. It hasn't happened since, the Yankees in 1999 and 2000. So right now, your focus has to be, I think, winning the division, gain some ground. But the key is, you got to take care of business. You got to keep doing what you're doing, winning series. Therefore, you can gain ground on Houston. You can also keep that margin, or also gain ground on the Oakland A's.
I thought that was sage wisdom from Rick Riz there, just because I hadn't really thought about that. Like he said, you know, you're going to go do the one game playoff in either Boston or New York and face Severino or Chris Sale. And like he said, yeah, sure, they can beat him with James Paxton. But yeah, I mean, and look, you said it earlier, Jim. I mean, if the Mariners are able to win tonight, they'll be 2 games behind the Astros. And you know, and look, you're trying to win as many games. It's just as far as how you root and how you think about it is kind of what we're talking about, and totally changed the way I think about it now.
Well, no offense, and I like Rick Riz, but he's not going to say, well, you know, the Astros are better than the Mariners, so they should just shoot for the wild card. He's just not going to do that, I don't think. But I see his point, and I think everybody sees his point. You don't want to face Sale or Severino. And, you know, there is a chance that the Mariners could be the first wild card team, too, and host that game. They're only the Yankees are 60-31, the Mariners 58-35, so they're only 3 games behind. You typically think that those two teams in the East are going to end up with a better record than the Mariners, but maybe not. I mean, if we're trying to have everything in play here, including beating the Astros for the AL West, then why not track down and have that wild card game here at Safeco Field?
The difference between winning the division and getting a wild card berth, though, in my mind, is the biggest difference in any playoff tiers. I think it's a more significant difference even than winning the division and getting a first round bye in the NFL playoffs as one of the 2 best teams in the conference. I think that the difference between getting a 1 game playoff, whether it's at home or on the road, and being immediately entered into a 5-game series, which you get if you're the division winner, is such a huge difference. And I look at it, and I very firmly think that, yeah, the Astros top to bottom do have a better team. The Astros also have a more notable flaw than the Mariners do. If you said the Mariners' most notable flaw, like the biggest drawback that they have, in my mind, is the lack of starting pitching depth. We'll see it a little bit this time as Felix misses his turn. Christian Bergman, in all likelihood, is going to start the series, the first game of the series tomorrow in Colorado. But if they have injuries and more than one injury in their starting rotation, you got Erasmo Ramirez, who's now about to begin a rehab assignment maybe. You don't have much depth there. Houston, and you saw it today, Houston has a flawed bullpen right now. They're talking about maybe switching around their closer. It's possible Rondon right now is their closer. Like, that's a bigger wart in my mind than anything the Mariners have going on. They have a legitimate flaw right now in their bullpen, and I don't think it's beyond the pale. I could see a scenario where the Mariners catch him, and I think that's why I'm ecstatic that the A's won 3 of 4, even though you've now got a red-hot A's team that would be chasing the Mariners and potentially, if you're rooting for the Mariners above all else, just at least get the wild card, this gives the chance that the A's could catch you from behind and leave you with nothing. But I think that the incentive that's there and the difference between winning the division and getting a wild card, give me the division in play absolutely every time.
Boy, and especially you're talking about the flaw for Houston last night. It just came together so beautifully because Marco Gonzalez, and you know, we'll probably talk about this later, maybe he's the number two guy now. I mean, Wade Miley will have something to say about that. He's 5-0, and you know, when he's pitching next,
Wade LeBlanc.
What did I say?
Wade Miley. Wade Miley.
Did I say Wade Miley?
Yeah, I did. The pipe bomb. God. We said, it's okay. It's
what
okay. I didn't want anybody out there to have some sort of PTSD sort of flashback to the dirty man who didn't take showers and would occasionally just get shelled.
Yeah, that was really a bad error on my part. But yeah, so Wade LeBlanc's going to have something to say about that 5-0. And yeah, but the way it came together and how it's coming together with Colome yesterday, it looked a little wild there for a bit, but then settled in, and he's become that eighth inning guy. And then, of course, you've got Segura and Houston, like you said, Danny, they don't even have anybody like that, and they're actually thinking about switching their closer at this point. So it's that's a huge advantage, and it couldn't have been a better game, you know, as far as if you put those two series together, what the Mariners, their comeback after losing that game the night before against the Angels, and then what happened down in Houston, losing 3 of the 4 games to the Oakland A's.
Yeah, I flip-flopped on the A's after what they did in Houston because I wasn't taking Bob Melvin's team seriously. I just thought, well, no, because I know the A's earlier this season, they were under 500, and I thought they might claw it to get back to 500, but here they are. They're 12 games over now, 53-41, just 5.5 behind the Mariners. And you could say, you could make a good case that they could have swept that whole 4-game series down there in Houston. I thought that they were going to meet their maker and that it'd be like the Mariners going back and facing Boston and New York. Okay, the A's have had a nice little run here, but now when they go to Houston, they're going to play the big boys and they're going to lose 3 of 4. That's what I thought was going to happen. They could have taken all 4. They had the Bregman little number that came in, and that helped them win an extra innings. And then today, they were down 4-0, and Charlie Morton's on the hill. And I thought, well, Charlie Morton, he's 11-2. He's gonna shut him down here. He had problems in the fifth, and then they got into the bullpen, and they rallied all the way back from 4-0 down to win 6-4. So, yeah, take the Oakland A's seriously. But you know, one thing about Houston, what you're saying about their bullpen, and I agree with you, the issues they're having down there. But when you have 5 starters like they have, you don't go to your bullpen all that often either. So I think, you know, Houston has got such an advantage with that rotation that it's going to play out in the long run.
It's Danny David Moore. We've got Jerry DePoto. He makes his weekly stop with us. Well, it'll be our first chance to talk to him since last week's announcement of an extension. He's going to join us at 3:30. But up next, he went into their locker room. Now, is Earl Thomas flirting with the Cowboys on social media? We'll tell you about reading into hashtags next.
This is Danny, Dave, and Moore
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
Jerry DePoto going to be joining us here. That's coming up at 3:30. You want to hear from him, anticipating the possibility they could win another series in Anaheim tonight. James Paxton on the mound. And look ahead to the All-Star break, which, man, just around the corner that's there. But I saw the reading of breadcrumbs or tea leaves. I'm not sure how you'd describe this, that Earl Thomas, the micro-analysis of his social media presence, which I know is something that Dave is very, very excited to do, to parse what hashtags mean. Hashtag long body, which is one of the things that he tweeted. And then,
what does that mean?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I don't know what a long body, what a reference, other than a wiener dog. I know that if you search Twitter for the hashtag longbody, you will get a number of pictures of, is it dachshunds? The dachshund is the actual wiener dog?
Yes.
that is there. You see that
correct.
Quite prominently. But Earl sent out on Instagram this morning. It said, God's plan, picture of a lion, then a football. Hashtag mood, ET3. Hashtag long body. And then there's a smiley face with stars for eyes. And Keon Brown, who I don't know who he is at all, and I don't know if he's an individual of significance or just some random dude on Instagram, said, we waiting for you to join America's team, exclamation point. Hashtag Cowboys Nation. Earl responded, America's team, straight truth.
Well, first of all, it's silly that we have to sit here and parse this whole thing, but that's not good.
It's annoying.
It's starting to get more like, okay, this means something. And I have defended him. I think you guys probably have too, as far as, maybe not you, Jim, but as far as.
Yeah, like, trade him to Cleveland.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You did say that.
I think that would shape him up.
Yeah, right. And we decided that would be very cruel. But yeah, now, I mean, and then there, I saw some other pictures where he's working out with a Texas legend and, you know, Texas, talking about Texas and. So, yeah, it's starting to get annoying, and it's starting to make me think, look, you know, maybe it's time to just do the whole fresh start, because he would be the last piece, wouldn't he? He would be the last piece that you, as far as, you know, from that era of the past that has kind of been making noise, and he has ever since he went into the Dallas Cowboy locker room and shouted at the head coach.
That was this. This is after their game on December 24th, Christmas Eve. The Seahawks win, and Earl Thomas, in full pads, ended up going into the Cowboys locker room, but not until after he saw Jason Garrett and said this. If you all got the chance, come get me, is what he said. And, look, I was there when that happened, and I saw Earl react afterwards. I heard what Pete Carroll said, which is that everybody didn't see, in Earl's mind, he was after a big win, wanted to see what the inside of the stadium, the clubhouse, the locker room looked like, knew that his contract was uncertain going forward, and it was, hey, if the Seahawks aren't going to keep me, you guys should come get me. That's kind of the backdrop for this, and ultimately, I think we've kind of now gone the full circle with this team, where at the beginning, when they were getting successful, we talked about how much we loved all the personalities, how charming and endearing Earl's unique perspective and the fact that he wore a crown to his wedding and a cape and all of the different things, and Marshawn Lynch and that defiance that he played with, and all of the, we've now kind of come full circle where we've seen kind of the other side of it. And now I look at it and I'm like, well, it's too bad. This is just like every other contract dispute we've ever seen between players, where you get these sort of coy, subtle digs behind the scenes via Instagram. And is it going to keep the team from being successful this year? No, but it's pretty tone deaf on Earl's part, because if he had any doubt about what reaction people would have to him flirting with the Cowboys, he saw that at Christmas Eve, and now he's kind of doing it again.
Don't you think his agent has talked to him at all, or Schneider, or someone said, hey, Earl, look, we're going to try, if you really want out of here this bad and you're doing all this stuff, stay off of social media, because everyone knows you want out of here. It's making it more difficult to get a second round or a third round or whatever they're trying to get for him. And so it's basically, what he wants, he's hurting himself, because it's making it more difficult for the Seahawks, I would think.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that you're starting to kind of burn a bridge when they value him as a player here more than anybody, and more than anybody, they know what he can do and what he's about. And yeah, you start all of a sudden doing that kind of stuff, and you know, and at first I was going to say, well, you can't really ask these guys to stay off social media because, you know, they're promoting themselves and things like that. But you can not talk about Texas anymore. How about don't have Texas, anything having to do with Texas? You know, and maybe it can, like, pixelate the Texas Longhorn shirt that the guy he was working out with wears. I mean, come on, man. I think it's taking an option away from him. It's unwise. And, look, you also have to kind of read. And I'm not backing off of – I still think he's by far the best safety. And I think that if you paid him something that made him happy, I still stand by, you would get your money's worth. It would be worth it. But, you know, right now it's starting to, like, get serious with how badly does he want to play here.
Does that comment make you more likely to give him what he wants?
This comment?
Yes.
Yeah, see? No, exactly. I mean, to your point, yeah, it does not make me want to do that. And look, you also have to kind of know that they're not in the mood to put up with that kind of crap right now. They just sent Sherm out of here, and they sent off Michael Bennett as well. So, Yeah, we're trying to kind of get rid of that sort of stuff and get some young guys that, you know, we think are going to be able to be the next wave of good defensive players.
Make you more likely to give him what he wants?
No, I just, you know, more and more, I'm not kidding about sending him to Cleveland. You know, I think that would be a good statement that you made. If you see one of your players get sent to Cleveland, you're going to be thinking, man, the Seahawks mean business. I better toe the line here. And I just get a kick out of it because it's not like they're screwing Earl Thomas with what they paid him in the past. He's making $10 million this year. And when they did pay him the last contract, they made him the top safety or right up to near the top. And just because a few years have passed, he's down a little bit. And
it's held up pretty well.
He's not bad.
In the realm of underpaid athletes, like you can see why he wants a new deal, and that's totally understandable. But it's not some sort of situation like when Russell was entering the final year of his contract and you're like, well, he's scheduled to make a couple million dollars and he's worth way more than that. It's not one of those sort of situations. The final thing, hashtag longbody, which was in Earl's original post. Somebody forwarded this to me from the Exuberant Animal, which appears to be some type of training or physical training. The primary goal of Exuberant Animal is to increase the health and welfare of the longbody. In short, this simply refers to the body plus its habitat and tribe, the long body.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Urban Dictionary definition, and you probably don't want me to read that.
No, we don't. We're going to talk to Jerry DePoto. That's coming up next on Danny, Dave, and More.
Mercedes-Benz.
This is the Jerry DePoto Show.
Presented by Ram Trucks.
And Geico. Every Thursday at 3:30 with Danny, Dave, and More.
Looking forward to it every week.
The latest transactions. The breakdown on the Mariners' latest moves. The reason behind the decisions that shape the organization.
I love the time together. It gives me a chance to hold myself accountable.
Now, here's Danny, Dave, and More.
It is Danny, Dave, and More in our weekly visit with Jerry DePoto. He joins us now on the Venue Kings Hotline. Jerry, first of all, we got a fourth Mariner to the All-Star game. That had to be pretty fun to watch how everybody rallied around Gene Segura.
And deservedly going to the All-Star game. But it has to be even a little bit more special for Gene and for all of us that everybody contributed to getting him there. He's done his part by really being arguably our MVP in the first half of the season. And I think in the conversation for the American League version of that for the first half, but obviously a thick position and we needed our fan base to rally, and they sure did. It was unbelievable, and kudos to the Mariners marketing people, Camden Finney and Greg Green and Kevin Martinez, and our group has just been phenomenal and really showed up on this occasion.
Yeah, and Jerry, would you say that it's better that, I mean, maybe it would have made him feel a little better to just get voted in right away, but it's almost better that it worked out this way because you got a chance to see how much everybody loves him.
I think that's right. That, you know, obviously it would have been a whole lot of love if he had been voted into the game.
Right.
But it's the fact that he was trailing behind guys like Francisco Lindor and Manny Machado is certainly not, you know, a slight. But he's had such a great first half, and the fact that this is the way it happened kind of epitomizes the 2018 Mariners, where, you know, it's about team, it's about relying on one another, and it doesn't just extend among our 25 players, but clearly among the community of Mariner fans.
Hey, Jerry, your team's right in the middle of this pennant chase here, the AL West, and it's within reach now. If you win tonight, you'll be two games behind the Houston Astros. I imagine you took a lot of interest in the Oakland-Houston series. Who are you rooting for in that one?
Whoever wins did a good job. I guess at the end of the day, we couldn't lose with this one because, you know, either the team in front of us or the team behind us is going to take a loss every day. And, you know, clearly we found a team that has figured out how to take care of the Astros. Good for the A's. This was, you know, they had a tough time with the Astros this year and even in their last 10 games against them. But obviously they showed up in this four-game series, and they are playing as good a baseball right now as anybody. Obviously winning 19 out of 24. I said something yesterday or the day before. I think we've gone 13-8 in our last 21 games, and somehow the A's gained four games on us, which is almost impossible to believe, but it's happened, and you know, keeps us on our toes and certainly gives us a chance at catching the team in front of us as well. Should be fun in the second half.
That's nice of you to say that, Jerry, because if I was in your position, I would have rooted for 17 blown hamstrings on each team.
That's dark, Dave. So dark.
I mean, look, you don't want either of them winning, man.
Never root for injuries.
I'm gonna try to get some good karma, Dave. I'll steer clear of the rooting for injuries.
I don't expect you to respond to that, Jerry. Go ahead. Jim.
Well, why are the A's so good all of a sudden? I haven't been taking them seriously, and I guess I've been wrong about them.
Well, you have to. I think two things. One that hasn't changed since opening day is they do have a nucleus of one of the more interesting young position player groups in the league. You know, guys like Matt Olson and Matt Chapman, and they really are a good group. Athletic, Marcus Semien and Chris Davis, they can hit, they can score runs. I guess most importantly, they hit homers, and that goes a long way. And they've also got a pretty dynamic back end of their bullpen, with guys like Lou Trevino stepping up, a phenomenal first half from Blake Treinen. They've got a really nice thing going with power and bullpen. And, you know, the A's always find a way to make themselves a competitive team. And at least that's the way it seems being in the AL West all these years. And they've done it again.
It's our weekly visit with Jerry DePoto. And Jerry, one thing they kind of have in common with your team is that they've been really good late. I think the A's, after today's game, they've scored 69 runs in the eighth inning, which is the most in Major League Baseball. And today was their eighth win when they've been trailing after seven games. You guys have been really good late in games, too. And I've wondered, obviously having a good bullpen into great bullpen, and the A's have Trevino and then Treinen, you mentioned, but there's also the scoring. Has your guys' success late in games, does that relate to some of the approaches of your hitters or the length of the lineup, do you think?
I think it's the length of the lineup. I also think, and I've mentioned this before, you know, on the public airways, we have a unique team, particularly in the American League, in that we get late in games. We handle velocity fairly well. We have somehow managed to be much better against bullpens than we've been against starting pitchers, which in today's day and age with the velocity or stuff that comes out of a bullpen is pretty amazing. And at the end of games where other teams are maybe reliant on a walk and a homer, we have a knack for figuring out a way, whether it be a walk, a couple of infield singles, bunting runners over. We've done remarkable things by keeping the ball in the infield and playing small ball, and then coming through with that big hit at a critical time, and then just handing the ball to Edwin Diaz. And that's been a pretty good formula for us, and I don't expect that's going to change.
Hey, Jerry, you and Scott, we talked about this last week, and I know these were all trades, but you got D to be okay with playing center field, D Gordon, and Denard Span to move away from his home. It's his hometown. And Alex Colome to become more of a setup guy than a closer, even though he had more saves than anyone in the American League last year, which is just speaks to how you guys have done such a great job of creating an environment and a team sort of concept there. But it seems like Alex Colome, especially lately, has really come around and starting to really respond to that new role that he's playing.
Yeah, I think that lends itself to our clubhouse community. It's once players get here, I think they really enjoy the looseness in the environment, the togetherness, the support and belief in one another. And I think it permeates from that room and goes throughout the organization. It's from chairman right on down to the guys who support the club every day in the clubhouse. And I think that's an important thing for a team to know that everybody around you cares. And guys like Span and Colome particularly, they've been really good for us. And, you know, Colome came over here, like you said, leading the league in saves last year, at the number one in the American League in saves over the last 3 years. So having been fairly well decorated as a closer, and he took a step backward into an eighth inning role, he was really good his first couple of outings and then hit a bit of a rough patch and tougher time keeping the ball in the ballpark. And here these last three or four outings, we're starting to see that dynamic uptick again. He's been 96, 97. He got the feel back on his cutter. And when he's right, it gives us a much different look at the back of our pen with Colome and Eddie. It really makes games feel a lot shorter.
Yeah, and you got to be pretty happy. I was just reading a stat from the PR department, 2.28 ERA since June 24th, and Mariners bullpen 2-0, 10 saves, 2.18 ERA. Pretty awesome what you're getting out of guys like Pazos and Chase and Bradford.
There really are. Pazos, Chase and Bradford. It's been Roenis Elias. It's been all year for Edwin Diaz. And I'm really excited what we're seeing here lately out of Alex Colomay, and believe that we've not yet seen the best of Juan Nicasio or Nick Vincent. So there's still a lot of upside with this group, and I would be surprised if we're, whether it be expanding when we get to September or the chance to add an arm here in July. You know, it's certainly going to be something we pay attention to, because they've done a great job and we want to make sure that we keep on adding.
What about the backup catchers? I can't believe it. You start out the season with Zunino and then Mike Marjama, and he retired this week. And you have David Freitas and Chris Herrmann out there, basically, to be honest with you, Jared. I hadn't heard of these guys. And yet I really like them. They're playing well. Freitas with a homer last night. It was really cool to see a picture of him getting the ball from the kid that had his home run ball. And then Chris Herrmann looks great at the plate. And, boy, you guys, I mean, you got a third and fourth string catcher out there, and you're still sustaining your success here.
I think it speaks to the character of those guys. And, you know, Chris Herrmann's been in the league for 4 years, primarily in the National League. And Hermie's got some power. He does know where the strike zone's at, and he's a very good athlete, especially by the standards of catchers in our league. He runs well. He can throw. And the left-hand bat really helps give something to our roster. And David Freitas, from spring training on, is – grinder. One of the more underrated receivers in the league, really grinds through the game. He'll fight for his chance to get on base. More importantly, he calls a good game. And he's about the best pitch blocker we've seen here. He does a great job back there. And when you have that to call on when it occurs, like with Z right now, I think it's awesome.
We had a listener text in, and I was just wondering, I thought I'd pass this along, Jerry. So Mike Zunino, we assume that he's going to come back from this ankle injury after the All-Star break. But how much of a difference between Freitas and Herrmann and Zunino with the pitching staff, when Zunino's out there calling the game, how much of a difference is there with him behind the plate?
You know, there's a trust and a comfort level with Mike and our pitchers, particularly the guys who've been here for a number of years. And I think the thing that Mike Zunino does best defensively, well, the two things, one, he's seeing the low balls. He's among the best in the business at kind of picking that low strike or the ball just on the edge and making it appear to be a strike. And, you know, that's very important to us, especially with guys like Mike Leake and Marco Gonzalez, who tend to live at the bottom of the zone and get a lot of ground balls. And the other thing Mike does very well is he can call a game. He's always in tune with our pitchers. He's got a great rapport with them. And there's something to that relationship between a pitcher and a catcher that I guess goes beyond just what you see on a stat sheet. And we do miss him when he's gone, and we will be happy when he gets back, because first, it adds to our depth, and secondly, our pitchers better, because there is an inherent trust that they feel with you.
Jerry DePoto Show is brought to you by Ram Trucks and by Geico. Just a couple more questions here with the Mariners general manager. Jerry, with the shape of things in the standings, and you see a little bit of a division between contenders and non-contenders already, how is that going to affect the trade market this year?
You know, I don't really know that it's going to affect the trade market. I believe it affected the off-season markets maybe more than it has this trade market, but you're going to see the same level of activity that you've always seen in years past. And starting pitching is going to be a premium. And this year, I would say there's probably going to be maybe more relief arms on the market than have been in recent years, because there is a bigger divide between the teams that are contending and those that are not, which logically means that maybe a few more veteran guys will be in play during the months of July and August. But I don't anticipate great moves, especially, you know, meaning big roster moves, especially in the American League, where, you know, teams like the Yankees, Red Sox, Astros, I mean, these teams are on pace for 104, 107 wins, and they really are outstanding teams. I'm sure each one of those teams will make one impact addition, but it's hard for me to believe there's just going to be this flood of activity in the American League.
Hey, Jerry, congratulations on your contract extension last week. And I guess the assumption is that Scott Servais will follow here pretty soon. Do you think we'll have some news on this during the All-Star week?
Tough for me to say that it would be in the All-Star week. I think one of the things, and this goes for players, the same is true of staff. Scott's in there living it every day with the players, with the coaches, and he's invested in today's win. I think we are all invested in Scott Servais managing the Mariners moving forward. But I think over the course of this last weekend, his focus is on what's happening on the field rather than taking care of our business. And there'll be the right time. And my guess is that it's sooner rather than later. But we'll focus on the games on the field right now and take care of business later. I don't think anyone anticipates that there will be an issue in Scott returning.
Jerry, did you get a Send Segura T-shirt?
Not only did I get one, I got the placard that it's hanging in my office. It was phenomenal to watch the fan turnout yesterday over at Safeco Field, and we went down with a handful of the players came out and delivered pizzas, and we went down some selfies and fun conversation with really what equate to be our most passionate fans, and Kevin Mather, John Stanton, our marketing people. It was awesome to see everybody out there and how much this city cares about this team.
You think they make that T-shirt in double XL? Because I would really love one of those. What do you think?
I think all you have to do is ask, Dave. There's a lot of fabric in the world.
You know what? Hey, wait a minute. That didn't sound good. I'm gonna text Randy Adamack right now because I love the picture. My favorite part is Gene's smiling face. He looks so sweet in this picture that's right in the middle of the T-shirt.
Just
awesome.
Just be sure not to tell Randy that you didn't vote.
Oh yeah, you know I
snitched on him. That was a terrible teammate.
Can you vote? Terrible teammate,
I'm
Danny.
I'm a bad teammate.
Well,
Jim and I are very unsavvy. Whatever the opposite of savvy
Luddites.
Is. Yeah, technology wise. Yeah. So.
If you're GM, can you vote?
Yeah. Did you vote, Jerry?
Oh, I will say that I spent most of the last 3 days on the phone with other GMs around the league and kept my headphones on and voted for Gene the whole time.
That's great. It's called multitasking.
Shame on you.
I know. You know what? You're right. I deserve that. We deserve it.
Jerry, we appreciate you taking the time. It's always fun to talk to you. All-Star break next week, and we look forward to watching your team this weekend in Colorado. Thanks again, man.
You got it, guys. See you next week.
Thanks. That is Jerry DePoto.
Gee whiz, Danny.
I know.
You hung me out to dry there.
Well, no, he didn't expect us to vote, did he?
It sounded kind of
Lydia Cruz made up for all of us, didn't she?
She did.
What in
she
the worked, world? Now, so after overtime. She found out, what was she doing at 5:30 yesterday, like cartwheels?
Well, she was probably icing her finger. Like, she had to recover. Like, there was a time of, hey, once she got to the end, she was like a starting pitcher who was, like, wrapped up head to toe in ice bags.
She might have a blister.
It's possible.
Remember the ridiculously huge ice bags that the pitchers have?
Yeah.
Yeah, Lydia had that all up and down the arm there.
Did you ever have big ice bags? I've always wondered that. Because can't you only get to a certain point where there's only so much ice you can have and the rest is just for show?
Yeah, I always think that. It's show ice. It is. That's what you see with those big ones. Because I always had... After almost every practice, because we used to hit all the time, and I'd put big ice bags on whatever shoulder was sore. But I think that there's some superfluous ice that is in that bag because it's huge. But have you ever voted for anything? I mean, I'm not talking about political elections.
Good Lord!
But I'm like, I've never voted for the. I think I might have voted for the Pro Bowl one time, 1 year. Maybe it was like when the beginning. Of this station, I think 2009 or 10.
How about my Twitter polls? I had one up yesterday. Did you vote in that?
I'll go on your Twitter, Danny. Jeez. What was it? What's better, chocolate or vanilla?
No.
Something real hard-hitting like that?
No, it was how many wins do you think the Seahawks will have? Five or fewer, six or seven. I guess it was six or fewer, seven or eight, nine or 10, or 11 or more were my options.
And what was the winner?
The winner was 9 or 10.
Yeah,
it was a runaway. And the second most likely was 7 or 8. Third most likely was 11 or more. And then the least likely was 6 wins or fewer.
You know, my daughter asked me from L.A. the other day, she's talking to somebody about Seahawk football. Oh, you know who it was? Gary Busey. My daughter met Gary Busey.
No way.
Yes. Mm. And there's a picture of her
Are
and him.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What is his
I can't
teeth
wait to
look
show
like?
You.
His teeth freak me out.
They're huge.
Yeah, they're enormous, and they're like, really white.
It's like a third of his face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, she asked me the question, like, what do you think? I go, well, you know, probably 10 and 6, but I think they're more likely to be 12 and 4 than they are to be 8 and 8, if that makes sense.
No kidding.
No, that doesn't make sense.
Well, I think, well, you don't agree with it, but
Correct.
It makes sense. Okay. It
doesn't make sense to me.
I don't care what your, Jim, I don't care what your opinion is. I just
no,
want
but you
to know
asked,
that
you
makes
asked,
sense
you,
what I
but,
sent her.
But you asked if that makes sense, and so I just said, well, no.
No, I asked if that line of, not the line of thinking, but how I laid it out made sense.
Did you understand that it was more likely they go 12 and 4?
In my
than
opinion.
They,
well,
they go
I was
eight,
immediately
eight.
Formulating a wager that Dave wins if the Seahawks go 12 and 4, and I win if they go 8 and 8.
Now, that would be a fair bet, but
okay.
It has to go exactly
what
there.
What if they go 9 and 7 and just no blood?
No blood.
All right. Let's do it.
$100?
Well, am I getting odds?
I don't know if I know that there's been a recent Supreme Court decision that was passed, but I don't know if we can make the on-air bet of exact denominations.
Oh, we can't?
Well, yeah. I don't
know. You
didn't say $100.
That's true. He said clams. 100 clams would be the wager.
Or
wampum. Why don't we make deals in wampum anymore, which was a type of Native American currency, right?
Yeah.
Well,
we'll start calling it that.
All right. Well, we'll figure something out.
Yeah, we'll do it. Anyway, I'll show you during the break picture of my daughter, Gary Busey.
Now, Gary Busey is not among the list of our 100 people that you can call in on your behalf. He should have been. Kendall would have had inroads there, although she might not be eligible.
She wouldn't be eligible, yeah.
And based on
relative
the
relative of, yeah.
6 degrees of Danny David Moore. It starts next Monday. And what you have to do, we've got a list of 100 people that are up on the website in ranging degrees of fame from Chris Pratt, Anna Faris. On down, I believe we've got some rappers on there. Sir Mix-a-Lot is on there.
Who's the least famous person on there? Irvin?
Might be Bruce. Bruce is probably pretty close. Or perhaps the lead singer of Skillet?
Yeah.
Skillet.
Yeah, the Skillet lead singer, the drummer.
Who was there at the behest of Jim Moore. About 100 people of varying degrees of fame. You get one of them to call in on your behalf. We'll have the number that we will be giving out either tomorrow or at the beginning of next week to have them call in while we're on the air. Anytime we're on the air next week during the All-Star week and then on through from July 16th to July 29th, and whoever produces the best interview, whoever's celebrity who calls on their behalf, who has what we deem to be the best interview, will get season tickets to the Seahawks, tickets to each home game. Details and rules are at 710sports.com/win.
You know what? I was going to take a couple days off because camp's getting ready to start next week, but I don't think I can. Because what if I miss Jack Lambert calling in?
It would be crushing to you. Yes.
Who else? Who what's another really
got
interesting?
George W. Bush. We've got Barack Obama.
Barack Obama. Yeah. You've got Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Yeah. We did not.
What are the odds that Obama or Bush are going to call our show?
Probably pretty
zero.
Long.
Zero.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, not zero. It can't be zero. Like it would be like less
of
than
the
a percentage.
Two, of the two, who would like be more likely to call?
Barack. I think
you think so?
I think Obama would be the more likely of the two.
See, I think it would be W.
Oh, no kidding.
Like, yeah, what are you doing? I'm not doing much these days. So I got plenty of time. Just thought I'd help somebody out.
We're going to talk to Edwin Diaz. That's going to be at 4:15. We got the professor coming up at 4. The thing that I was most interested that Jerry DePoto said to us was about the trade market. Because I've wondered, you have, and we've talked about it before, the super teams, Boston, New York, Houston is in that category. And you have teams in the American League, there are right now three teams with a winning percentage below 400. Like you have a division there that's not been there before. And we kind of knew that going into the season, that there were teams that are not playing for today. They're not interested in how that's going to affect the trade market. And what Jerry said there is that starting pitching will remain at a premium, but you might see more relievers changing hands. But that teams like New York and Boston, they might not be multiple moves for them to upgrade where they are. I'll be really interested to see how that affects the races going forward. I think there's a real opportunity for the Mariners to make some moves to acquire, to help them try to chase down the Astros, if that is in fact a possibility. Astros lose the third time in 4 games to the A's today. Seattle could cut that deficit to 2 games. James Paxton on the mound tonight. We'll continue next on Danny, Dave, and More.